CVS is transforming itself and closing some stores along the way. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. CVS says it is planning to close about 900 stores over the next 3 years, starting in 2022. The company says it's an effort to review the retail side of its business and focus more on healthcare services. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has more.
The pharmacies of the future are going to be less about picture frames and beach balls, says Northwestern professor Craig Garthwaite, and more about health services and primary care.
And really make it look more like a doctor's office that has some stuff you can buy, as opposed to a place where you buy stuff that has a doctor's office attached to it.
CVS has been heading this way even before the pandemic, Garthwaite says, since acquiring the insurance company Aetna in 2018.
I think this is entirely and only about them making money.
But when it comes to choosing which stores to close, business-driven motivations can be problematic, says USC professor Dima Kato, who's studied geographic access to pharmacies.
We know when pharmacies close, including chains, they're more likely to close in underserved, low-income, minority neighborhoods.
In a statement, CVS says choosing which stores to close will be determined by local market dynamics, store density, and the needs of underserved communities. I'm Caroline Champlin from Marketplace.
It was only 10 days ago that the U.S. started allowing vaccinated Canadians to enter the U.S. by car or ferry, but there's not exactly been a surge of visitors. That's because on the Canadian side, travelers are required to get expensive COVID PCR tests before they can come home, and those tests can cost hundreds of dollars. The Canadian government is expected to lift that requirement soon for travelers going to the U.S. for 72 hours or less, making day tripping in the U.S. and day shopping a whole lot easier. Marketplace's Lily Jamali has more from the border town of Ogdensburg, New York.
Canadian Len Jarvis hasn't been here since the day before the border closed because of COVID. So much costs less on the U.S. side. Now that he can, Jarvis came to Holiday Shop and to hit the Price Chopper supermarket for food that's hard to come by up north.
Yogurts that are a little bit different here than there. Especially the key lime.
Can't get that in Canada.
No, can't get that. If there is, I don't know where it's at.
But to come here, he had to pay for the COVID PCR test Canada has required residents to get and show to return home.
It is a deterrent. I'm $248 poorer because of it.
But now Canada looks set to drop the testing requirement for short day or weekend trips like Jarvis's. New York Congressman Brian Higgins has been lobbying for this.
We have lost two tourist seasons. This testing requirement needs to be dropped.
Higgins says that would give an economic boost to U.S. border towns that need it. In Ogdensburg, New York, I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.6%. Dow and S&P futures are down 0.3%. Dow future down 209 points. NASDAQ futures up 0.3%. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.539%. Consumer prices could rise 1.5% in the next year if nothing is done about shipping supply chain disruptions. That is the warning out from the UN Conference on Trade and Development. Ocean shipping rates have skyrocketed up 700% in some cases over the last year and a half. If you've ever tried to, say, cancel your cable, you may have noticed that canceling a subscription to something can sometimes be a lot harder than signing up for it in the first place. And that is, of course, on purpose. But the Federal Trade Commission says that is illegal and says it'll crack down on companies that make canceling a subscription too cumbersome. Marketplace's Savannah Marr reports on what this might mean for the news industry.
Bridget Zent reads and pays for a lot of news. She says signing up for those subscriptions was simple.
Their little window pops up in front of the article, and then you just click on it and give them your email and your information.
But when she needed to cut back on subscription costs,
getting out is not that easy.
One reason is that many outlets require customers to cancel by phone. Gwen Vargo with the American Press Institute says this is a common retention tactic. she surveyed 526 news publications and found that more than half make canceling a subscription cumbersome, sometimes by requiring customers to speak to a customer service rep.
You want to be able to show the value of your product and hope people stay.
But Vargo says sometimes the strategy makes customers feel trapped.
It can quickly go to something that feels aggressive.
And that's harmful to a news organization's brand, says Vijay Vishwanathan, a professor of media and marketing at Northwestern University.
And it's very easy to lose trust, but it's very hard to regain trust.
He says audience engagement is a better path to retention, but that's easier said than done for small outlets with few resources. Vishwanathan says those organizations will struggle most under the FTC's new guidance.
This might be sort of sounding the death knell, in fact, because, you know, a lot of them are just depending on customer inertia.
But other publications have gotten out ahead of the crackdown, like the Spokesman Review in Eastern Washington, where Pat Leader is the audience and marketing director.
If you subscribed online, you can cancel online.
Leader says her team tracks the stories digital subscribers are engaging with and connects them with similar content through newsletters and emails.
Trying to personalize for that subscriber.
Long term, Leader says this strategy is better for business. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are Jay Siebold and Jake Cherry. And I'm Sabri Benishor with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.